Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. During the 2008 presidential campaign, former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani mockingly asked, "What does a community organizer actually do?" He was referring to one of then-candidate Barack Obama's past occupations. Well, one person who knows intimately what a community organizer does is my next guest, Hubie Jones. Jones has been a leader in Boston's African-American community for decades. He served on the boards of City Year, the Conservation Law Foundation, and the Massachusetts Advocacy Center. And he was dean of the Boston University School of Social Work from 1977 to 1993, making him BU's first Black dean. But after a long and accomplished career in social justice, Jones began a new project, the Boston Children's Chorus. He founded the chorus in 2002 to bring children from diverse racial and socioeconomic backgrounds together to sing. The group performed the Star Spangled Banner last month when President Obama was in Boston campaigning for Governor Deval Patrick. Jones was recently awarded a 2010 Purpose Prize. That's an award for people over the age of 60 who work towards social good. Hubie Jones, welcome to Radio Boston.
Nice to be here.
So, Hubie Jones, this is an award for people over the age of 60, and I hope I'm allowed to say this on the air, but I was trying to do the math. Are you now 77?
I am 76, soon to be 77 in December.
So this month. It's a birthday coming up soon.
Coming up.
So I want to spend part of the time I have with you talking about this long career you've had doing social justice work. But first tell me, after all the work you've done on racial issues in Boston, poverty issues, education, why a children's chorus? How does that fit with the theme of your life's work?
Well, I really understood about in 2001 that probably the best way to bring young people together across the divides of race, ethnicity, and social class was through the arts and through music.
You think that's the best way?
Well, I think it's one of the best ways. I had tried all other means to do it with limited success. And then in 2001 at a City Year convention in Chicago, I heard the Chicago Children's Choir sing. It blew me away. Here I saw and heard a group of teenagers, basically high school kids, who sang at a level of excellence, very diverse group of kids, who sang at a level of excellence that few adult choirs can sing at. And that really stuck with me. And about a year later, I came to the conclusion that it was time for Boston to have such a choir. And I went about planning to put such a choir together and got a lot of people to embrace the idea and to join a board. And in 2003, we brought our first 30 young people together. And they come from the suburbs. They come from inner-city neighborhoods. They now are 400 in number.
Grew from 30 to 400.
From 30 to 400.
What age
range? 10 choirs.
In 10 separate choirs?
In 10 separate choirs, ages 7 to 18. So we have training choirs 7 to 9 and intermediate choirs, 10 to 12. And then we go on from that until we get to the top choirs, which are our premier choir and our young men's ensemble. And when the young men's ensemble and the premier choir sing together, you get this rich sound that is absolutely amazing.
Listeners, I'm talking to Hubie Jones. He was the longtime former dean of Boston University's School of Social Work. He's also had a multi-decade career working in social justice, poverty, education issues. If you have questions for Hubie about any of the work he does, including his work as a community organizer, which is a term that during Obama's presidential campaign was quite in the news, if you want to know Hubie Jones' thoughts about community organizing, you can talk to him and ask him your questions at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-8255. talk. And so, Huey Jones, let me go to that comment that Rudy Giuliani made. It was Rudy Giuliani when Obama was running for president. And he was a little bit dismissive of what it means to be a community organizer. How do you define it?
Well, I define it as people working with other people at a local level. It may be a neighborhood level. It may be a city level. But primarily, it's usually at a neighborhood level where people come together and find out and what they care about or what they would like to change. And with the help and facilitation of a skilled community organizer, they determine what it is they want to do and then have the courage to go out and do it. It's very important to a social fabric, in building a social fabric, building connectivity between people and areas. And when people are connected with each other and when they care about each other and are willing to work with each other, amazing things can happen. And you can't have a whole community unless people are connected with each other and doing important things that they care about.
Did you feel that work took a hit at all when Giuliani seemed to ridicule or at least question what it meant? Or do you think it really wasn't affected by that? It was a little blip.
Oh, it was a blip. I think people who know anything about community organizing, anybody in Chicago who had anything to do with Obama when he was doing his work, understood it was important, and it made a very different. I made a big difference to people's lives in the areas in which he worked. So, yeah, it was a cheap shot. Didn't last, fortunately. When you're doing good work and it makes a difference, at the end of the day, it prevails.
Huey Jones, starting in the 1950s and through today, you've basically made your living working for nonprofits, working in the public sector. The list is so long. Boston Children's Services, the Judge Baker Guidance Center, Roxbury Multi-Service Center. So many organizations in Roxbury, the community college there, City Year, the Urban League of Eastern Mass. Why did you feel that was the way you wanted to make your impact, through that public service nonprofit world rather than through the corporate world?
Well, first of all, when I was in college, I made the decision I wanted to be a professional social worker. And that was a real big decision. I had tremendous gifts working with young people. And when I was in college in a sociology class, I was required to do a service project in the community. And I went to the local school that had an after-school program, and I was supervised by a professional social worker who basically said to me, "Boy, you're very good working with kids."
You just knew how to talk to them?
Well, I knew how to work with them. I knew how to work with them. I knew how to talk to them. I knew how to listen to them. And I knew how to move them. I knew how to use activities as a way for them to connect with each other, to gain mastery of the kinds of skills they needed to have in order to have amazing social skills. And this professional social worker said to me, "Have you ever thought about social work as a career?" And then I was working at a camp in Cooperstown, New York, the Ethical Culture School camp, and I ran into some other social workers who thought I did very good work with young people. And they said, "Have you ever thought about becoming a social worker?" And that turned me to think about social work. And I really went this way, not only because I was good at working with people, but I saw social work as a profession committed to social change.
You went on to get your master's in social work.
I got a master's in
social
work.
School of social
work. I got a master's in social work at Boston University. I went to the City College of New York. I came to Boston to go to the Boston University School of Social Work. And I've been here ever since.
We have a caller who wants to ask you a question about the chorus or make a comment about the chorus. And this is Kara calling from Newton. And Kara, what's your question for Huey Jones?
Oh, hi. Actually, I just wanted to congratulate him on bringing a choir to Boston. I was a member of the Chicago Children's Choir for many years in the 70s and moved to Boston to go to school and never left. And it was a huge part of my life that I'm so grateful that I had, and I'm interconnected with kids from all over the inner city, and as a matter of fact, within the last 6 months, I've reconnected with alums on Facebook all over the country, and we are still in contact with each other, and it was a life-changing experience for me to spend such intense time with kids I probably wouldn't have met otherwise, singing just first-rate quality music and training and traveling all over the country performing. It was wonderful.
Kara, thanks for that. Huey Jones, is that what you're hoping people will say decades from now after they finish their coursework?
Well, that's what's happening now. Our young people have become bonded with each other. They care about each other in a very deep way. You know, we have 30% of our young people coming from the suburbs and the rest coming from inner-city neighborhoods.
So people are mixing who might not otherwise
mix. People are mixing who might otherwise not ever come in contact with each other. And as a result of that, we're beginning to see authentic social integration. You can have the segregation, which means you are permitted to be in a social space with someone, but that doesn't mean you're connecting in any kind of deep way with them. What we're doing through the power of music is helping young people connect with each other very deeply, care about each other, and basically we call ourselves a family at the Boston Children's Chorus.
Huey Jones, back in the 1960s, you authored or led research on a report that became groundbreaking because it changed the way that Massachusetts treats special ed and bilingual ed. This was research you did that found that many children were literally being excluded from school. If they had behavioral problems, if they were pregnant, if they didn't speak English, if they had disabilities, and you helped prevent those people from being excluded anymore. We just heard earlier on the show that a new report came out showing a different kind of exclusion in a way. Kids at urban schools often are at risk of dropping out of high school. When you look at what's changed over the past few decades, do you feel like we haven't made that much progress when it comes to how urban kids are treated in the educational system?
We've made progress and we haven't made progress. As a result of the work I did with the report, The Way We Go to School, in Boston, the exclusion of children. As a result of that, there was the passage of Chapter 766, the special education law. And that made it possible for young people who had been excluded, who had all kinds of special needs from school, to be able to go to school and get the kind of education that they need. Now, it took a lot of work to implement that legislation, but thousands and thousands of young people in this Commonwealth are now in school and getting the kinds of support that they need in order to prosper. We're not getting the kind of results we need to get for all kids in schools in the Commonwealth, particularly in urban areas. We have a great deal more to do. I heard in the beginning of your program someone mentioned City Year. City Year is where I have my office. It's one of the organizations I've been affiliated with for over 22 years. And City Year has played a major role now in not only schools in Boston, but across the country in identifying young people by the age of third grade who are off track. Off track meaning their attendance is poor, that they have behavioral problems, and they're not proficient in either English or math.
So educators could intervene and try to get them back on track.
Exactly. So, and there are things you can do to get young people on track. If you don't get on track by the time you're in sixth grade, the chances of you graduating from high school are not very good.
This is a question that you could take a long time to answer, but I'm wondering if you could answer it in a short way, if possible. I wonder what you think of the state of Black Boston right now.
Well, we have a lot of challenges. When you have so many murders going on in the community, and we're not finding a way to stop this, and people are frightened and threatened, you have a very, very tough situation. And as a result of that, we've got to find ways to make this not happen. You can't have a community that is whole, that is healthy, when you have this much violence going on, and when you have people just terrified that something is going to happen. Now, that's not the whole community, but there's enough of it in order for it to be a great concern.
Huey Jones, as we said earlier, you're approaching 80 years old. All the way through your life and through your career, you've continually done new things and not so much reinvented yourself as kept yourself doing new dynamic things. We have a caller who has a call related to that, and this is Kathy from Cambridge. And Kathy, what's your question for Huey Jones?
Well, first I just want to say thank you for being such an important part of Boston and contributing so much. You've always been an inspiration, and I think speak best to what social workers do. I'm a nurse, and I have a question about sort of the baby boomers. And I know about civic ventures and that they really are saying, what can you do for the next step in your life? You obviously have a great Rolodex, and you can network with people. But for people who don't have those kind of connections but want to do something new and innovative or creative at this next stage in their life, either after retirement, and use their skill set that they had during their work life? What kind of advice would you give?
I think it really starts with, first of all, knowing what you would like to see happen, what you care about, what you're passionate about, and then bringing together just a few other people who have a similar concern about it, and just talk about why you want to do it and why you think it will make a difference. Out of those kinds of conversations, people will then come up with a plan for how they can move ahead. And then everybody has social capital. Everybody has networks and relationships. And you just need to think about what are they and how can they be leveraged in order to get the resources and the support and the help you need in order to make something happen. I've been fortunate enough to have played a role in the formation, rebuilding, and leadership of at least 25 social institutions in Boston. But all of that has happened because I was connected with an array of outstanding people who cared about the thing that needed to be done, the thing that needed to be fixed, the aspirations that needed to be touched and approached and reached. So I think it's as simple as being passionate about what you want to do. If you're passionate about it, you're connected to other people, you're clear about why it'll make a difference, you just go for it. You just go for it. I remember once when I was teaching a course at Boston University School of Social Work in advocacy, and we brought into the class a woman named Norma. And she just told a story about how a group of women were very concerned about how the healthcare system was not treating women right. And as a result of that, they decided they were going to sit and talk deeply about it for as long as it took. And out of that came a book they wrote called Our Bodies, Ourselves.
Ah, a well-known book.
A well-known book.
Huey Jones, thank you very much for coming to the studio. We appreciate it.
Glad to be here.
Huey Jones is the longtime former dean of BU School of Social Work. He's also a 2010 winner of the Purpose Prize, which he won for his work as founder and president of the Boston Children's Chorus. You can learn more about the chorus on our website, wbur.org/Boston. And here's some sound from the chorus singing Joy to the World. Up next, Newton novelist Suzanne Burney talks about her new book, Missing Lucille. She wrote the book to learn more about her late grandmother, but she says in the process it was her father she really got to know. We'll be back after a short break. Stay with us. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.